fine-tune some of our understanding of child training. Okay, we're looking at this week. Next week will be Labor Day, so I'll be preaching a message on laboring. I'm just praying how the Lord wants me to adjust that. But then I'll do part two of child training 2 weeks from now, okay? So hopefully it will be an encouragement for us. And some of them, Brother Johnny, I'm not a parent, so this message is not for me. There will be things that you will probably pick up and also be able to respond to because they are Bible verses. And God doesn't send out His Bible verses and then there will be no response to it. Okay, God can speak to us through His Word as well. Let's stand. We just read one verse in the area of child training. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Let's read Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, once again, we come humbly before your presence as we want to hear your word. We pray, Father, that you open our hearts to what you have in this short verse, but there are many considerations and other verses that you would want to bring up so that we can understand, Lord, this whole area of your will with regards to child training. Some of it, Father, are very direct application from the verses. You know that. And also some will be strong principles, Lord, that must be embedded in our hearts when we bring up our children. Lord, I pray for every child here. Though they may think, you know, this message is not for them, but for their parents. But I pray, Father, that they would have a heart of love for you and their parents to want to understand some of these things so that they can cooperate, Lord, with the growing up process in their homes. For us as parents and would-be parents, I ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts about some of the principles, Lord, that may be in our lives or may not be in our lives. And I pray, Father, you will be useful even as we let the Holy Spirit speak to us in a special way. Lord, I know in these 10 points there are things which you have for us. And so I pray everyone, Lord, will rest at your feet right now, even as we hear from heaven. Speak to us in a special way. I pray that your word will have the preeminence it should have. And I pray lives will be changed. I pray most of all families will be different as a result of taking in some of these Bible principles, Lord, that is able to change lives. And that every child, Lord, will be taught your word. And every child's life will be different because every parent made it their number one priority to bring up the children in the fear, the nurture and admonition of our dear Lord. We thank you. Speak to us in a special way. We pray for those who are still away. Pray for safety. And also, Lord, they come here and be united around your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, yesterday, yesterday after lunch, we had youth, they had youth fellowship, and then after that, some of them went off, and we had lunch after that, okay? And then just as we were leaving lunch, block 313, Laha, for those are famous 313 there, I saw a little child, a little child about 4 years old, 5 years old. She had a red T-shirt, and something struck me about the T-shirt, because it talked about milk. Sorry. And the top phrase was, this 4 to 5 year old girl, the top phrase was, "Forget milk. Where's the beer?" Well, I think that was okay. "Forget milk. Where's the beer?" This is for a 4 to 5 year old girl. Of course, it's not she, but I think we all know that probably the parents actually bought that for her and think it's cute, right? Forget milk. Where's the beer? I don't know about you, but that really concerns me. From the research, there's one particular lady who did a research. She's actually from the UK. She did a research on Singapore in the year 2010, I believe, or 2001. I can't remember. I think it's 2010. No, sorry, 1997. She did a study of Singapore's... There's this thing, have you heard of BPC in Singapore? Beyond Parental Control. Now, Singapore is one of the countries in the world, I think the only country in the world, that have this legal a thing whereby when a parent cannot control the child, they can actually apply to the courts to help in the control of the child. It's called BPC. Okay? This particular lady did a research in 1997 and reported this, some of these findings. Okay? I'll just read some of the findings. From the research findings, 49% of the juvenile's parents were married. So half of them married, while a substantial figure of the juvenile's parents were either divorced, 37%, widowed, 7%, single parents, 3%, separated, 3%, or cohabiting, 1%. Most of the parents are low-skilled workers, and the average household income is less than $2,000. The reported figures somehow lead many people to the assumption, therefore, that 50% of all the BPC cases actually come from low-income and broken families, right? So this is one of the possible conclusions, okay? But most of the parents already spend so much time earning for a living so that the earned money can be given to their children. And as they have been working and tend to neglect their children, they have little energy left to give the attention and communication or communicate with them. Okay, this is one of the findings. So because in one of those findings, they're saying that half, 50% of all the cases, which is about 700, I think, half of them actually have a lot of parents who are single, who have low income, and so it may lead to the assumption all these lower income families only have problems. There was this, I think some of you may know, Dr. Carol Bell Hatchett, or maybe I pronounced right, Director of Youth Services at Singapore's Children's Society, feels otherwise. She shared that the generation has evolved, and in recent years, most of the problematic children face court orders or are under warrant arrest by the police come from complete homes. This finding was in 2008, which is only 7 years ago. She is finding that many of the BP, beyond parental control children actually come from complete homes. Similar to Dr. Carroll's claim, 69% of new probation cases, according to MCYS, now MSF, in 2006, include delinquent youth who come from two-parent families. Another worrying data came from the study by the subordinated courts that a total of 65% of BPC cases were committed by girls. There's an increase. Where male only constitute the remaining 35%, based on the control and social bond theories, these people are hypothesized that crime and deviancy is a natural occurrence. This is interesting. This was actually based on the secular research, okay? Based on their theories, these theories are saying crime and deviancy is the natural occurrence in the society simply because all human beings have an innate to commit crime. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but it points to what? That all men are born sinners. Interesting, this is interesting. Therefore, when parents need to deal with their deviant children, they should explain to them why you should not do that. Similarly, basically you tell them don't do that. Similarly, another person claimed that there is no requirement to explain why people complete such acts because delinquency is not caused by beliefs that require delinquency, but rather it is only possible by the absence of effective beliefs that forbids delinquency. In other words, because children are born with a tendency to sin, which in the Bible is very clear, is a sinful nature. Okay, they are saying in 1969, they shouldn't be taught why they shouldn't do that. They should be taught to have principles to stop them inside from committing these crimes. In essence, child nurturing, this is from a study, not from the Bible, not from Christians. This is from a study that says, in essence, child nurturing starts from young, and good child rearing practices will definitely facilitate positive socialization process within the family and the child's circles of friends. Conversely, bad parental skills and negative influences are contributing factors to deviancy acts committed by their children. I do have the website if you want. Okay, what is it saying? Secular society is pointing to the Bible and say yes, men have a sinful nature. Yes, men need to be taught what they need to put inside their hearts to stop them from doing these sinful acts. The Bible is always true. We don't even have to have research to show that. But this research actually tells us, as parents, we do have a responsibility to our children. You know, one of the biggest principles, things in my heart and life, is to ensure that our families, our children, don't become a statistic, if you know what I mean. Don't become a statistic, meaning they will not be counted as one of them who fell into sin and this is part of the whole demographic, this is part of the whole group. Or this person was arrested for stealing or this person is part of a gang and he's part of this. Christians, God doesn't want us to bring our children that direction. Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up in a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from that. This instruction is a command. That means a command is to be followed. God, through Solomon, is telling these people, if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. All right. Sadly, many, I'll talk about this verse in detail later. But sadly, many Christians have not taken this command and are paying the price for it. You know, my concern, some of you parents who have younger children may not realize, actually God gives us personal responsibility to train up our children, because otherwise 10 years from now, you'll be paying for it. And I say this, I'm very clear. You study the scriptures, the church is only there to help. There is no youth ministry, no children's ministry in the Bible. There's only one ministry to help children. You know what the ministry is? Parents' ministry. Because the Bible never says, youth ministry, train up my child in the way he should go. No, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the family's responsibility. As society changes, the church have stretched out, coming out with some ministry to help the families, but it should never replace the ministry parents we have for our children. Does it make sense? It must be very clear on that. Okay? Must be very clear on that. I know of even pastors' children are not being exempted from this. There are some pastors' children say, forget it. Or missionary kids, I do not want to be part of ministry anymore. Forget it. I'm not going to waste my time. I've seen all the trash and all these things. There's nothing to hold me. I don't care. Okay, some even parents, pastors, missionaries, evangelists, children are not being exempted from it. Parents, we have to decide what way we want to bring up our children. There are actually 17 pointers, but I'm going to touch on the first 10 very quickly. It's for parents. The next week, the 7 is what are the things we need to train our children in. Okay, today, we're going to look at primarily parental considerations for parenting. Some of you will say, Brother Johnny, I'm not a parent. Never mind, but God's grace, you will be. So please take note of that. Write it in your Bible somewhere. And maybe when the time comes to be a parent, there are some of these principles that you have. Do you realize that principles cannot be learned overnight? It has to be imbibed. It has to be prayed over, that God will take control of your heart. Your whole life will then revolve around that. Number one, we need to train them up in the way that they should go, not in the way they would go. Or they will to go, they want to go. We have to train them up in the way that they should go. The implication of this statement is the direction is determined by the parents. I say again, train up a child in the way it should go. The direction of the training is decided by the parents, not the child. The parents, you take responsibility in your mind very clearly, I want my child to serve God. Or I want my child to be the next PhD. I want my child to be the next president. I want my child to be a ballet dancer. Who decides these classes? The parents, right? You know, parents, as you decide to ballet, not you decide to ballet, but send your child for ballet, or you decide to send your child for music, you need to think, why are you doing that? You know, they say that in Singapore, if you are in an educational profession, you probably won't make a lot of money, because Singaporeans, parents very kiasu. Education is important, which is true, okay? Our government pushes that very hard. And so we sign them for piano class, ballet class, xylophone class, how to use a computer. And by the end of the day, the child comes home and, oh, Did you read the latest that they are employing tutors just to do their children's homework so that the children can rest? And these tutors charge 1.5 hours, how much? $150 to $200. Did you read that recently? Who read that? So I won't be... Okay, thank you. Okay. They are just paying people to do this homework so that children can sleep. And the parents are saying, this homework is useless, irrelevant, but still have to do, no choice more. And they would employ tutors, pay them $200 for 2 hours just to finish the child's homework. It would be a bad thing if the tutor don't know how to do the maths. So there are some cases. For us, we also sometimes don't know how to do, right? Don't know what to do. Who is training your child? What direction are you training your child in? I know Singapore life is very stressful because of the educational demands and all that, but did you know that parents, you determine the direction for your children? You determine the direction of training for your children. What is the direction that a child should be going? Let me ask you a question, parent. If you have a child right in front of you now, or maybe you're not married, but you do have a child, you're not married, but in the future you have a child, what is the direction you want that child to go? What's the direction? The pathway of education? What should be the main priority for us as believers? Let's look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 38. Matthew 22, verse 35 to 38. Is it there? Maybe just turn there. I think it's a good one to just look at. Matthew 22, I hope the reference is right. Matthew 22, verse 35 to 38. I'll just read it. You can follow along. We'll read from verse 35 to verse 38. Okay, let's read together. 35 today, ready? 22. 1, 2, go. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Jesus was approached by a lawyer one day, and he was asked, Master, in all the Old Testament, what is the number one commandment? Just distill it and just bring it to the... Just summarize everything into one. What is the most greatest commandment that is important? Most important one. What did Jesus say? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The greatest thing in the Bible that you hold, that Jesus says is the greatest thing, is that we love God with everything that is inside of us. Yes? Do you think that this is a curriculum we need to teach our children? Do you know what is the number one thing, parents, we need to teach our children? Not to score all A's, but to love God with all their hearts. That is the number one priority. Number one priority. Because that's what Jesus says. The great commandment in the law is to love God with all your hearts. It's to take the heart of the child and on a daily basis train them to the point they themselves love God and are willing to give their lives to God as they see it in your life. Okay? The direction is determined by the parents. The direction is determined by the parents. The tendency of the human nature is to go its own way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6. We want to go our way. But you know what, parents? We have to train our children to go that way that God wants us to go. In Proverbs 22:15, let me just read this. Foolishness is already there in your verses. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. We'll talk about the rod later. The rod, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parents, can I just encourage you to train up a child in the way that he should be going, not the way that he wants to go. Because you will find many children who, when parents say, no, we're going to do this, say, no, I don't want it. You don't love me anymore. That's the way he wants to go. Right? But parents, if that's the way, do you want your child to grow up like that? You need to think. The direction that we need is to help a child to love God. And if a child loves God, he won't behave like this. All right? I just want to drop that in. Number one. Number two. Okay, at the end, I'll just give you questions along. Okay, are you training them in the way they should go? And why is the way they should go? They should be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ with their lives. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Yes? Will our children glorify Christ and honor us as they grow up? Or will they... This is a particular trend. I just want to be friends with my children. I just want to be friends with my children. No, I don't care if he... You know, don't care what... As long as, well, he keep the family intact and I'm happy, and then when I'm on my rocking chair, I got my grandchildren, and that's fine, you know. But you never see your child living for God. Oh, yeah, they still come and say hi to me, you know, give me a couple of hundred of dollars every month just to keep me going. Yeah, after that, then they just arrange for me to be put in a box. as long as everything is smooth in my life, I don't want any trouble from them. As long as I just give them what they want, everything is fine. That is not Bible. When we are Christians, God has a definite direction He wants us to bring our children towards, and that is to love God with all He has. Number one. Number two, as we train our children, these are some principles. Train our children with tenderness, affection, patience, and love. Train our child with tenderness, affection, patience, and love. Alright, firstly, we need to train our child in the way they should be going. And number two is to train the child with tenderness, affection, patience, and love. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, the Bible says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and are drawn from the breast. Well, that's pretty immediate. Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we teach the word of God to? Then they are weaned from the milk. That means, it seems to me, from your very young age, you better start teaching. That's what God says. Okay? First time, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. The idea is, keep on a regular basis teaching the word of God, here a little, there a little, for the little ones, because they cannot grasp everything. But you know, if every day on a daily basis you are training the child with the word of God again and again, they begin to put together, hopefully when they grow up, a whole concept, a whole teaching of who God is. That's why it's so important to start young. But you know, this point is to train up the child with tenderness, affection, patience, and love. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, Paul gives the illustration, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. The Apostle Paul, when he was preaching to the Thessalonian church, look, I love you so much, Thessalonian Christians. I don't want to just give you the gospel, I want to give you my life. Because that's how much you mean to me. You know, the affection and love. Children, God, or rather, parents, God puts in the children a love for their parents from the start. That's why you talk about the bonding process and all that, right? Now, even up to 50 years old, they still have the bonding process, right? At Starbucks or whatever, bonding. You know, why are we bonding? At that age, do you mean growing and serving the Lord together already? Okay? But I think it's important for us to know from a young age, God has already put the love in the heart of a child for the parents. For the parents to have the same love towards the child. Now listen, parents, it could be that through the experiences of life, you may experience things that will cause you not to love as you should love. Do you understand what I'm saying? In maybe from 0 to 10 or 0 to 15 or 0 to 20, you have been an abandoned child. Maybe you were an orphan. Maybe certain things happened in your life and you were bitter about certain things. And when it comes to a marriage relationship, a child, you find it very hard to love. And it is possible there are parents who are in that situation that don't know how to love because they themselves may have been abused while they were young. Does that make sense? And yet, but with the love of God in our hearts for our children, we should be able to change because of what God is doing in our lives. You see, it's important for us not to hold on to what we think we should be doing, but rather to realize, what do you want me to do for my child? Many of us as parents, how we were treated, I think you all, some of you may know this, is in theories, in research, usually how we've been treated when we were a child, we will treat our child the way we've been treated, which sometimes is absolutely wrong. For some parents is, oh, my mom doesn't spank me when I'm young, so now I'm going to spank my children. Oh, my mom was strict with me, and I'm going to give it to my children when I'm old, or when I have my own as well. You know, both ways are wrong, but both ways are not scriptural. Okay? We need to understand, we need to train them with the love of God. The love of God is the unconditional love that drives the Lord to die for us. This is the type of love that should drive our training of our children and their upbringing. Parents, the eternity of our children is at stake. I tell you as a spiritual pastor, the eternity of your child is at stake. This is not the only life your child will have. There's eternal life to think about too. So if you focus on only education here, career here, and then after that's the end, you have missed the boat. You have missed totally what it means to bring up a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. If you are a Christian especially, there's nothing more important, I banged on that last week, than the salvation of your children, which I'll talk about later. Question for us, how is your love for your child? Is it unconditional? Or is it conditional upon how much they score at the exams? You know, some parents go down that track. Is it conditional upon how they behave? Is it conditional, but next time when I grow up, you better take care of me? Is it that condition? Are there any conditions that we place on our love for our child? Are there? Oh, if you don't get... I've seen parents, or I've heard of parents as well, who chase their children out because they didn't score what they're supposed to score. And children are afraid to go home because they know what they're going to get. Because they didn't get the marks that they want, or they didn't behave in a way that, or, you know, the teacher's going to call my children because I accidentally knock over something. There's that fear. Parents, how is our love for our children today? Is it unconditional? You know what unconditional love is? No matter what your child does, you still can look at your child and say, I still love you. And that's not going to change. Oh, that's painful sometimes. Because your child don't give you what you want. But that's not God's way. God's way is for us to love irregardless of what our child does to us. I think you've heard perhaps of, just remembering this Amos Yee situation is all over the papers, how the parents refused to bail him out. I think they are broken. I don't think the parents are cruel. I think they're just broken-hearted and don't know what else to do. To be fair, we're not going to judge the situation. But you don't know. Why would a parent not want to bail out his own son? I've had parents who would share, not with me, but in the sharing, would say that, hey, I failed as a parent. You know, we have a chance to, before the Lord, ask ourselves, Lord, how is my love to my children? It has to start there. It has to start there. If God has no love for us, He wouldn't have sent His Son into this world. When we want to train our child for God, it must start there. It must start from the heart. We must start from the heart. How is our love for our child? Point number three. We need to train up the child with the conviction that much depends on us, on you. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. I think this was touched on before, I think a few months ago, I think. We won't go through the whole thing. But I want us to actually look at some passages and realize... Train up the child with the conviction that much depends on you. Much depends on you. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, 14, Jehovah speaks to Samuel and said, "For I've told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever." I want you to notice the force of the words of the Lord Jesus, of Jehovah to Samuel. The force of the words. He says, "I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the sin that he knows." All right? This, parents, do we know what our children are involved in? And is it sin? Children, are you hiding from your parents' sin? Things that you do not want your parents to see, and you delete it straight away sometimes? You know? Last time it might be easier because they're all in cassette tapes, you know, we can catch them. But now you can delete them. Of course, you can pay for people to bring up again. But this sin, Eli knows. God is telling Samuel, look, I already told Eli that there's something in that family. He knows it. He knows it. Parents, are there things that are continuing? We know it. And we are allowing it to continue. Notice, because his son made themselves vile. Now his sons willingly became vile. Listen, children, you don't willingly become vile overnight. What will happen is that you have influences, you get, oh, that's interesting, and then after that you get used to it a little bit more, but you know there's something wrong then. But over time, as you grow up, you begin to say, what's wrong with that? And then you continue to get involved. That's when, parents, you will find your children coming back with long hair, earrings, colored hair. I say, what's wrong, Mom? I mean, when I was young, you put tattoos on me anyway, no soft picture tattoos, and you think it's fine. You expose me to all this kind of music, and you say it's fine. Mom, this is what I'm doing now. His sons willingly became vile. You know, parents, the indictment that God told Eli is that he did not restrain them. He did nothing to stop them. Parents, you listen to me as your pastor. Those of you who wants to listen, if you know your son or daughter is involved in anything and God says that is sin and you do nothing to stop them, the blood of your child is on your hands. And you cannot blame anyone else except yourself for not stopping them. Children are going to tell you this, Ma, Pa, you don't understand me. You know what you can say? I may not understand your heart totally because it's so sinful and depraved and desperately wicked. But I do know, as your mom and dad, I love you enough and I have wisdom enough that if you continue to take drugs with your friend, I have no choice but to cut off your... I have no choice but to make a stand and tell your friends never to call you again because I know if you will continue there, you are going down a wrong track. It's not just drugs. It could be anything. It could be anything. And parents, we love our children so much, we don't want to hurt them. Do you realize that God says that if you don't actually chastise them, you actually hate them? You don't understand the seriousness of sin on the child's life. That if he continues to go, parents, we are going to have tears next time. Eli did nothing to stop these children. The Bible says also, God said, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering. The sin is remembered in that family. God says, Eli, you may have served me all your life, but I'm holding you and your family accountable for that sin forever. That's what God said. And Eli's children are in hell today. Would you agree with me? Because God says their sin will not be purged by any offering you offer. Because they willingly made themselves vile. And Eli's two children are in hell today. Pastor, don't judge. That's what God says. That's my conclusion. And I don't know about you. I don't want my child to go down that road. Train up a child with the conviction that much depends on you. Your child don't know right from wrong. Did you know that when they grow up? When, that's why Isis children can kill at the age of 3, 4, 5 years old. Why? I don't care. I've been taught to hold a machine gun. I've been taught to hold a gun. I will kill anyone who is against us. They've been taught and programmed to kill. North Vietnam, it's been shown that children as young as 6, when the GIs came and say hi, they turn around and they stab them. Why? They haven't taught. They haven't been taught. They have been taught killing is right. There was a 3-year-old in our church. Not that he's taught to kill, but the pastor's daughter actually told this little girl, I think I shared before, this is your right hand and this is your left hand. You know, the poor girl afterward had a hard time trying to change that. Because she's been taught, this is your right hand, and this is your left. Parents, we need to have the conviction in our hearts that the training of our children depends on us, not the church. As a pastor, I have a heart for parents and children because I'm going to give an account for every single one. And that's why sometimes there are certain things I will make, no, we're not going to do that. Because if you don't restrain them, I have to. That's a second level. But parents, let's work together. God says, Eli's children are in hell because the parents didn't restrain them. In Galatians 4:19, let's look at that verse. And this is important because the Bible says, my little children, or I'm using an illustration principle from Paul as he cares for the young baby converts. He says, it's my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Mothers who have been through childbirth will realize it is a painful process starting from day one, then 9 months. Right? All the morning sickness and all the craving for satay and all that kind of thing will come. But then the final push is hard because it's painful. Thank God for the advent of anesthesia today. Sometimes anesthesia cannot work. You got to go a few times. I'm scaring some of you. The pain. You know what Paul says? Paul says, my little children, the goal I have for you, little children, is that Jesus Christ be formed in you, that you have the character of Christ when you grow up. And Paul says, I travail, I pray, I fast, I teach all I can, I rebuke if I have to, so that you can have the image of Jesus Christ in your life. Parents, the responsibility for you, for your children, as your children may have trusted Christ, is their attitudes, their words, their heart, their ambitions, the way, the places they go, the friends they have, will reflect a Christ-likeness. Would you agree with that? The goal of the Christian life is to be more like Christ. And Paul says here in his own confession to the Galatians, oh, and the Galatian church were going down a wrong track. They're beginning to absorb and listen to the legalistic Judaizers, who says you need to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul says, where did you learn that from? And I'm travailing right now for you so that you can understand the grace of God in your life. We need to be concerned. We need to be convicted. And parents, we need to be committed. And then we need to be consistent. Do you believe, question number three, that you must be in charge and be involved in the upbringing of your child and in the key things you cannot outsource to someone else? Point number four. When you train up the child with the conviction that much depends on you, number four, train up the child with the main priority of winning them to Christ. Train them up with the main priority of winning them to Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:15, the Bible says that from a child, infant, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That was the priority that Paul saw in Eunice and Lois as they were teaching Timothy from young. The Scriptures, why? So that they will be given the knowledge of God and they will be wise with the goal of attaining God's salvation in his life. Okay? Parents, is that a priority? Or is it just education in Singapore? The culture says education is the most important. God says your child's salvation is number one priority. Who will you listen to? I'm not saying education is not important. Please don't misunderstand. I think the challenge I mentioned before is not between what is wrong and right. It's between what is better and what is the best. I don't know about you, if you have your sons and daughters grow up with 5 PhDs, but no salvation, would you be happy, parents, if you're a Christian? Would you be really, really happy? My child doesn't go to church, he drinks once in a while. Yeah, he doesn't, yeah, he smokes. Yeah, he has 5 PhDs, well known, lots of money. In fact, my maintenance when I'm 60 is always from him. But will you genuinely be happy in your life, parents, as Christians, when you see your child unsaved and you have the knowledge one day when you leave this world, your child will have no salvation and you will never see that child again? Am I making it very gory? No, that is just what the Bible says. Parents, we need to train them up with a main priority of winning them to Christ. And I said like last week, nothing is more important than that. Nothing. In Psalm 142, verse 4, let's read. I look on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. David said, I've looked everywhere. No one cared for me. Is it possible? You know, some of the things that, you know, as pastor, I have the privilege of speaking with children sometimes and understanding some of the backgrounds. You know, one's a brokenhearted thing sometimes. Parents, the children don't have emotional support. I'm not saying, you see, we need to be careful when you say, oh, emotional support, I don't feel good. It's a very self-centered way of thinking. But there's one thing. You know, when your child is going through a deep distress, when he's afraid to walk out the aisle because he is afraid that there's certain things that will come out and jump at him. And maybe they're genuinely scared about certain things, but we were not there to help them. Children will grow up with an instability in their hearts. Where God put parents there to help them have a security in God first, and the parents is the link to help them be strong. We will care about our child's education. We will care about our children's health. We will care about our children's financial future. But is there a care about our child's spiritual future? And I dare say, many Christians in this world will take care of the insurance, will take care of the education, will take care of the health. Not just as long as you go to church every Sunday. Going to church doesn't make your child a Christian. I hope you understand that. Okay? Going to the airport doesn't make you an aeroplane. Going to a garage doesn't make you a car. You know, how does a child become a Christian? He needs to hear the word of God. He needs to see in action. He needs to be convicted that there is a God who loves him, but God who hates sin. And the child needs to understand there is a repentance that he needs to go through, and he needs to surrender to this God who loves him so much. Train up your child with the priority of winning them to Christ. Yes, as parents, do we care for the most important area of their lives, their relationship with God? Because whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. Is your main priority, question number 4, winning them to Christ? You know why? Because if it's not a priority, you will not put any effort in it. Would you agree with me? If you will not put that as a priority, parents, you will put no effort in showing that love and the grace you need for your child to understand that even when they do wrong, that sin, there's a punishment, but there's the grace of God in salvation to save them. If that is not a priority, parents, if you just hope that they are saved, I have seen parents, maybe I've seen people who, when someone gets saved, say, oh, thank God. It's as if, well, okay. You know, when a person gets saved, the whole heaven rejoices. You know why? Because they knew someone has trusted Christ and is on his way home. Such a big thing in heaven. But you know what? In our home on earth, is it a big thing when someone trusts Christ? If your children comes to you and say, Pa, what does amazing grace mean? The first thing you need to think of is this. How do I lead my child from amazing grace to salvation in Christ? If your child comes to you and how come Daniel was in the lion's den? You need to straight away think, how do I lead my child's answer about Daniel in the lion's den to Jesus Christ? Do you understand what I'm saying? Your child needs to constantly be directed to Christ because the whole Bible is written about Jesus. That's what the Bible says, John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testifieth of me. The entire Bible points to Jesus Christ. Parents, we need to be able to have enough of Bible knowledge that whatever questions our children ask about Christ or the Bible, we need to be able to lead them from that story to Jesus Christ, to the cross. Because the whole Bible is centered around the redemption plan of Christ. Did you know that? From the Old Testament pointing to Christ, from the New Testament pointing back to Christ, we need to be able to lead our children there. We need to care for our children with a priority. Point number 5, train up your child with a fear of spoiling them. Train up your child with that fear that I'm not going to spoil my child. I'll just go through a few points. Our child are precious in our sight. And sometimes we need to be careful not to always give in to their ways. So for example, you say, Mimi, please pick up your toys. The meme was, "Silver muffin." Because you don't want to do the work. Lazy, okay? Some parents never spank their children. Listen to the scriptures. Proverbs 13:24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." I say again, God says, in his wisdom, if you spare your rod, you hate your son. That's why he says, "But Rajan, you cannot take it literally." You sure? Why is it then our prison system uses it literally? You know, in the Old Testament, oftentimes pain is used as a way to teach children that there is a hell. If you do wrong, hell of pain. And I believe with all my heart, you know why God instituted that? Because when God says, "I want your child to experience in life now so that he won't get to experience an eternity of it." Do you see that link? For the wages of sin is death. When we don't spank our children, and some children, some of us may grow up with, my parents don't spank me, so I don't spank. The Bible says, "He that spareth not his rod, he that spareth his rod hates his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him when it is early." Betimes means early. The word chasten in the Bible means to scourge. In other words, when your child does wrong, he needs to know that that's going to be with love, scourging. In other words, there will be pain. There will be pain. Proverbs 22 verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Foolishness. What is foolishness? Doing things without thinking. Yesterday I was looking at this child. Sometimes it's very funny when you see these parents trying to control their children. Children will just, you know, especially you go to a shop with a lot of porcelain and all that. The children will just be touching, you know, 2 years old touching and all that. And the parents, wait, you know. You know how to deal with the child? Get a hand, one time. Just one time. Don't touch. Then with love. Children at that age cannot reason with you. Would you agree? A 2 year old, do you think a 2 year old can reason with you? Or 3 year old? Just one time. You know, one time was all it took for someone who wants to place the finger into the fan. One time. I had one of my children who was doing this when I was doing wrapping their Pampers. One time. I never had problems after that. Because the wages of sin is death. And the children from a young age, they may not understand here, but they associate that if I do this, that thing comes. The next time I do this again, it comes. After a while, they begin to learn, hey, can I say this? I'm not advocating spanking. I'm just telling my children, that's not looking at spanking. I believe spanking is only a small part of the whole child training process. Because it's to train the child, it's not to punish them. Does that make sense? If you have trained your child well, you will not need to deal with them as much. Would you agree with me? They begin to understand the right thing. They won't want to. Yeah, sometimes they go out of the way. You still have to give it to them. But you know, as you grow up, they grow up, they will actually learn. But the parents, we don't even teach them what is right and wrong. Okay? God says we need to. Proverbs 23 verse 13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Oh, but you hear me? I'm going to hell. I'm going to die. The Bible says you will not die. You have the promise of God. Okay? "You shall beat him with the rod, and you shall deliver his soul from hell," because he knows there's pain. And he knows that if I keep going down, my dad and mom is not going to relent. He's going to discipline me so that you bring me back. Remember, discipline must be dealt off in love. I'll touch about that. How do we use a rod with children? Mine is broken in 3 pieces. Okay, it doesn't show the state of my children's this. Okay, all right. How do we use a rod with a child? When I'm sharing with you this, I'm just sharing it generally. Okay, I hope you will not just take it and say, "I'm going back. I'm doing this." There are certain rules in the use of the rod. Okay? There are certain rules in using the rod. Last time it was only 10 cents. Now it's 50 cents. For what offenses do we use the rod? disobedience to parents, rudeness, dishonoring parents, clear sin, lying, cheating, vulgar language, this need to be dealt with very, very severely. Parents, if you allow your children to be disobedient to you, you'll be no time before they're disobedient to God. Because you see, only representation, remember last week we talked about the only representation children have of our Heavenly Father is how you as father or mother treat Him. If you say, I can get away with disobedience, He'll get away with disobedience. Children, I have seen before, when a child asks, Dad, Dad, don't give. You know what the child does? Go to the mother, and the mother gives. What are we teaching our children? Well, don't get from you, I'll get from you. They will never learn to appreciate authority. Moms, you need to work with Dad. Dad, you need to learn with Mom. This is something that even me and my wife get. Sometimes I ask, do you ask your mom already? Very simple. If you ask, Pa, can I have 50 cents? Say, did you ask your mom already? Yes. What did your mom say? No. Then, sorry, I won't give you. You just have to copy that way. So that your child knows he's not going to get in. Because you know, sinful nature covetous, he wants. And so if I don't get from there. Okay? Disobedience to parents, rudeness to parents is disobedience. It's dishonoring parents. And parents, we need to deal with that. And children, listen to me. If you are ever rude to your parents, that is sin against God. I say again. If your mom tells you to do, please go and keep the cup. The first response from you should be, yes, ma, I'll do it now. That should be the right way. Because that's what God says. Because if you get, ma, you know how heavy the cup is or not? You start to reason and question it. I need to do this first. I need to do that first. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to deal with that. I'm not saying parents become unreasonable. If your parent, if your child has just come back and trying to take out his shoes and trying to, and then say, please take the tissue now. Abba, can you wait for a while? Say, I take now! Okay, then you go, you know. But if your dad, at least dad, or if you see that the child is trying to take out his socks and shoes, okay, after you take out your socks and shoes, can you please put the tissue back? Some reasonableness, I think your child can understand that. But children, if you ever have the attitude, I'm not going to listen to you. And if that man talks to you, you walk away. That's a sign of rebellion. And children and parents don't allow them to get away. You know why? They will learn not to listen to you. They will learn not to listen to you. Disobedience towards parents, rudeness, dishonoring parents. Parents, you have to be very clear in your heart. You will not allow your child to go down that road. Because if he does, mark it down. You will have problems in school. Have you seen the video whereby this Indian Sekwan boy was arguing with a teacher over the youth, not in the youth. People were taking video and putting in YouTube. And he was arguing and just giving it. I mean, we have secondary school teachers here who share with me, Rajani, you know, I asked him to carry books for me and I say, carry yourself. I said, whoa, as a teacher, today you got to grapple with that. Why? Because you've learned it at home. I submit to you, you find a rebellious child in school, chances are at home, the parents are not helping him. What for offenses? Clear sin, lying, cheating, stealing, all this are punishable by the rods. Where do you do it? In the privacy of your room, behind closed doors. In other words, as much as you want to deal with the offense, you make sure you protect the reputation of the child. But Brother Johnny, you know, my problem is not at home. My problem is outside. One thing I've learned, the moment I go in the shopping center, my eyes start looking out for private areas when my child was young. So that when they actually disobey, let's go. I bring them to that area I've already identified before I go in. So that they are still protected, but you still help them to learn. I won't tolerate this at home. I will not tolerate this outside. Because your soul is important to God. I want you to develop a soul of respect and honoring God as you honor your parents. Okay? What to use? The cane. Okay? And it's interesting because some people say it's a cane because it's thin. Okay? Don't underestimate the thinness of this cane. Okay? How many would like to try? Alright? Okay? Parents, some people advocate, these are some hearsay, right? Don't use your hand because your hand is used to love and all that. If you spank also, the child may have mixed messages. Okay, so you need to be careful, but use the cane. Okay, when do you use it? As much as possible, immediately at the time of the offense. Okay? Some people say no. Some people say this, you go back home, then you will know. And go back home in 6 hours later. But then the child forget. Really. Then suddenly you bring me, what you spank me for? The child will know, okay? So immediately at that time. But Brother Johnny is very paisei because he always manjas when all my friends are around. You know, when my mom is busy with guests and all that, they start to play up. And you know in your mind you need to discipline them. But because of friends around, you don't. Oh, you have a choice. You have a choice. I can tell you, your friends will be very understanding. Yeah. I've done it before when my child, and thank God. But even during cell group, I would start cell group and bring my child in. Because my child's soul is more important. And thank God I have understanding cell group members. I'm thankful. I'm not saying make a fool of your child. I'm not saying degrade them. I'm saying, parents, you must take the responsibility. I can assure you, the Church of God will understand. But we need to work together on that. How do you do it? I've written it down so you can follow. I just quickly ask the child what happened, ascertain what the child did, and facilitate and bring the child to a point of confession. The reference is Genesis chapter 3, when God actually said, hey, where are you? Where are you? And then, of course, Adam and Eve, because they were still newly sinners, okay, they said, well, we saw you and we tried to hide, you know. Ascertain what the child did. So what did you do? Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat? Of course, then, of course, they did. And tell the child ahead of time how many strokes of the cane you will be meeting out. And I would advocate, I don't know, some parents you may have, but I believe that you should only spend one place. You know the place? Only here. You should only spend one place. For a few reasons. Number one is padded. It's padded. You know what I mean by it's padded? Your row is padded. Okay, number one. Number two, it can be painful. This to the pad. By the end, you still protect the reputation of your child. Because it's called covered up. That's why you need to do it privately. It's between you and God. Okay? You and the child, not you and God. Ask child why he or she must be spanked. The child needs to understand as much as he can. Those who are younger, you may have to say, Papa spank you because God says. Please, what I've learned is this. When you tell a child you need to spank, you say, I'm spanking you because God says we should not tell lies. And you told a lie, right? Okay, Papa need to deal with that. And you need to. The child needs to acknowledge that he broke God's law, not you, I spank you because you take my paper without my permission. That is being angry with your child without a cause. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, when you spank your child, you make sure you have a biblical reason. If your child don't score well and you spank the child, parents, you have sinned against God. Because your child will then learn, Mark is the God. No, the law of God is God. You deal with the child according to God's word. Ask child why he must be spanked, then pray and ask the Lord for forgiveness. The child should pray. I always encourage my child to pray, and my children will pray. Father, forgive me, and after I'll pray. And what I do is I hug my child, and I tell them, it's over. It's over. If it's over for you, parent, you will never bring up again. And your child will be set free to live again. Okay, so if it's a repeated offense, then you need to give clear rules and you need to enforce them. Okay? But if it's a one-time thing, but it's serious enough, parents, you need to actually deal with that. Okay? We're talking about that with the men during the church camp, how we can actually facilitate and really learn this properly. In Hebrews 8, verse 12, remember, if the child has confessed, you have dealt with it. The Bible says, in Hebrews 8, 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and in their iniquities will I remember no more. Parents, when you have dealt with your child's sin and it's over, never bring it up again. Never bring it up again. Just like you and I need a second chance, our children need a second chance too. And sometimes it needs the discipline of God in our lives to never to bring up that sin again. You know what parents have to do? See, last time, 2 years ago, you did this, right? And then 1.5 years ago, you did. You see, you always sin one. No, we are always sinners as well, you know. But you know, when you're a child, your child needs to know that when God forgives, it's over. Okay? Point number six. Okay, then the question, do you always give in to your child? When your child disobeys, lies, or is rude to you, you just tell, but there are no actions to enforce and enforce the principle of obedience and honoring your parents. Remember, you are to train, not merely to teach. This is very important. You are not merely to teach and tell your child. I've seen so many parents tell their children, but they do not enforce. They do not enforce. You know, in the army, when they teach you something, they make sure you pass. If you don't pass, you fail, you take again. You know why? You know why the army will give you instruction first, then they get you to do the practice, and then they give you a test. You know why? Because in a time of war, the soldier needs to be able to use the grenade in a proper way. Would you agree? In a time of war, they need to be able to use the rifle in the correct way. But if a child's behavior at home is not trained, how do you expect them to fight the battle? No wonder many of our children, once they hit primary 1, primary 2, primary 3, they just follow their friends. You know why? Because they have never been trained to do the right thing. That when teacher says, sit down, you sit down. And if you don't, one time here. And then after that, after the child 2-3 years, you begin to realize, okay, time. That's why some children can sit down in church. Because parents enforce. And it's something we need to learn. Okay? We cannot bring our children up and then expect them to survive in the public. We can't. Jeremiah shares with me the things he goes through in the police force. And some of you who have gone through the army, you know what kind of conducive environment there is. If you don't have principles here, mark it down, teenagers, those who will go to NS. If you do not start training up your heart to cooperate with your dad and mom when you go in the army, you can be 10 times worse than you are now. Okay? Some of you know what I mean. Remember to train your child, not merely to teach them. Okay? Point number six, very quickly, because of time, I need to train up the child remembering how God trains us. Train up a child remembering how God trained us. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he had torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day will he raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Hosea is asking this children to come back to God. Yes, he will tear you, but he will heal you. He will smite you, but he will bind you up. How does God train his children? How does God train his children? In this passage in Hosea, Hosea is telling this children, look, when God smites you, he will also continue to build you up. And parents, we need to do that. I've seen parents whack their children, after that just leave their children. You know what you teach the children? To separate from the parents after a while. The mom don't love me, dad don't love me.
So you are laughing. I hope it's not you.
Because we are teaching our children, get lost. I don't like you. God doesn't do that. Amen? God does not do that. He just doesn't do that because he's God of love. And that's why I say you need to train your child with love in your hearts for them. How does God train his children? Number one, he loves. He provides. He nurtures. He disciplines. That's the character of God. He disciplines. Hebrews chapter 12. He rebukes. And he withholds. Not just the positive. God has a lot of positive. He gives peace. He encourages us when we are weak. He builds us up. But God rebukes. He withholds as well. Remember? And sometimes God allows us to go through the trials too. Training. You know, I can go through a whole passage, but I just want to give you the principle. Remember how God trains us and train our children the same way. Parents, sometimes we prefer this method, prefer that method. We need to prefer God's method. Because God's method is comprehensive. Because God deals with the whole person. Point number seven. Train up the child remembering the power of your influence. The power of your influence. In Ephesians chapter, Colossians, I believe, chapter 3. Let's turn there. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 21. Colossians 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. In this particular passage, I'll just read what I have. Parental authority is not without bonds. Fathers are to provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. This thought is that the father must wisely discharge his authority in such a way that the children are not discouraged by an inconsistent display of authority. Inconsistency on the part of the parent will do more to ignite rebellion than any other thing. If we say, you need to do this, but we don't do it, you're going to do something else, that kind of inconsistency actually ignites a lot of rebellion. All right, this commentary was written by a Baptist pastor who had grown children. Train up a child, remember the power of influence. Instructions and commands and advice mean little unless backed up by our life. Fathers and mothers, are we listening to this? Instructions and commands and advice mean little unless backed up by your life. Because the children will hear your words, but they see your life more powerfully. Dad says, don't drink, don't smoke. But you drink and smoke, your can is quite colorful. And the smoke, I can get used to it. It is said in the research that I was reading as well on this, that parents, dads who are smokers, generally will have children who become smokers. Because that will not stop them. Instructions and commands and advice mean little unless backed up by your life. To give children instruction, this person says this, to give children instruction in the right thing, but show a bad example, is to show them in the head how to get to heaven, but take them by the hand and lead them to hell. Wow. We can talk, but our lives show something else. We tell them how to go to heaven, but we lead them to hell by our example. The home is the best teaching place. Use it to your advantage. Do you use your influence for the benefit of your children? Point number 8, train up the child remembering the power of sin. Remembering the power of sin. As we teach our children, remember their tempers, their tantrums, their violence, their fightings, not sharing their meanness, sometimes are all the result of a sinful, I want it my way nature. We have to remember that. And when you're dealing with your child, you're not just dealing with a child whom you love, you're dealing with a child with a sinful nature that wants to fight everything that God stands for. You know, as parents, we need to, in love, deal with our children, but with firmness, say, no, I'm not going to allow you to steal. You return that. If your child says, no, I want it my mother, then you have to deal with your child very firmly because it's a sin against God. Okay? So train them in the right things, right habits from the beginning. Okay, we'll touch on this, the children's one, 2 weeks later. But this should cause us to be more vigilant, more diligent, so that you do not allow your child the opportunity to sin and get away with it. This happens, parents, when you give your children electronic devices that give them access to the world, without your monitoring. There was an MOE, I think there was this, this 22, I think, I can't remember the age of this lady teacher, who, there's this 9-year-old boy walked up to her and said, auntie, can I sleep with you? I said, where in the world did you get that from? From the internet? Children, some of you are on internet sites that you are not supposed to be on. Parents, can I challenge you? And children, can I ask you to cooperate with your parents when they ask you, show me the internet sites you're on? You may be shocked at what you find, but listen to this. So, Pastor, I'm telling you, some of you children are on internet sites you are not supposed to be on. Pornography, rock music, things that you know is wrong, and you go on there. You know what happens when parents, we just shove them the internet or shove them the technology. Children don't have, what I always tell my children, the Iron Dome here. You know it's the Iron Dome? The Israelis use the Iron Dome. Every time there's a rocket shot, they will intercept and destroy all the incoming missiles into Israel. Children at the age of 10, 11, 12, 13 don't have enough of character to stop the influence coming in through pornography. Pornography is one of the biggest slayers of children today. So when they come, no wonder many young teenagers are trying to get involved and experience that. Why? Because they've learned it from the internet. Parents, as you teach your children, remember the power of sin. yeah, your child is good. That's why I was looking at Noah. You know, he's so cute because his eyes are so bright and black and shiny. Those black eyes, shiny eyes, one day will become, if we don't actually check them. Because the power of sin is at work in your lives. Children, would you cooperate with your parents? I mean this with all my heart. If you are unwilling to show your dad, mom, what you have on your Instagram, on your Facebook, on your music, there is something wrong. You are hiding from mom and dad, and you know it. You know what you need to do? Confess that sin. Dad, mom, I heard the message. God spoke to my heart. Dad, I'm sorry, there are certain things inside there. Please forgive me. Be willing. And dad and mom, when your child comes in repentance, pray, have a broken heart and say, thank God for that. And say, let's work together to prevent that from happening again. I know, moms and dad, you are busy with your work trying to earn money to make ends meet. But there is nothing more important than the soul of your child. I'm not. You need to make some plans, but pray how you will still be able to guard. Brother Johnny, you need to expose them. No, I'm not going to. If I know there's a tiger outside, would you expose your child there? Come on. Some of us have this philosophy, oh, we need to expose our children so that they can learn. If there's a tiger out there, roaring lion out there, would you expose your child there? No, you keep him in here. No, you stay with me. There's a lion out there. I'm not going to let you go out because you can go out and be destroyed. That's Satan's lie. Expose your children so that they will grow. No, that's Satan's lie. Expose your children so I can give them a little bit here and there to feed them the lust of this world so that when mom and dad, you're not around, I will, hey, you got data plan, right? Mom's internet. Oh, you know that's my password, right? You will tempt them to go. Children, am I being far-fetched here? Are you on internet sites you know you're not supposed to? Parents, I'm highlighting this because we need to know the power of the sinful nature. And Satan will make sure you will always think it's okay. And when your child grows up and walks the way of the devil, you say, what happened to my child? It was the small things. Remember the power of your influence on the child. Do you use your influence to benefit your child? Do you remember the power of sin? Point number 9. I painted kind of bleak picture. But parents, you're not on your own. Train up the child remembering the promises of Scripture. Because the Bible says, if you put in the effort, train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a promise of God. In the direction that he should be going. I say again, children want to go the way they want to go, but God says go in the way they should be going, and that's to honor God, do the right thing. A principle that I highlight oftentimes, every child growing up needs to be useful to God and useful to society. And of course, useful to the church of God. If your child is going down this track, wanting to be useful to God, useful to society, and useful to the church, I don't think you'll go wrong. If parents, if you have your mind, if you say, I just want education without a goal, your child's going to get education but do what he wants. But you say, no, I want child. I told my children many times, I don't care if you go full time. I want your life to honor God. I want you to do something that will honor. So if they do education, if they do everything, even they become someone that just takes care of their family and honor the Lord, serve God, and something that honors God, I'm happy. Because their life is to glorify God in everything they do. God promises that He will be with us in our child training with our child. He will not leave us. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find after many days. Throwing the bread in Hebrew thought. Now this is a very interesting one. Casting your bread upon the waters in Hebrew thinking has the thought of sacrificing what is your livelihood and what is your sustenance and throwing it. Because bread is what we eat to live. And Solomon says, throw up, cast away the sustenance that you will think you have upon the waters, because the Hebrew thinking is, after many days, according to Scripture, you come back to you. The thought is this: when you sacrifice, parents, what you think you need or want now because of a greater principle of training your child, God says it will come back to you. You will reap what you sow. When you invest in your child, helping them to grow towards Christ and serve God, study hard, learning the principles of diligence, perseverance, and to actually enforce and encourage them to do so, after many years, they'll come back to you. It will come back to us after many days. You reap what you sow. Parents, can I say this? When you invest in your child, you only get returns. I have 15 years, 20 years, deathbed. You only get returns many years later. Because children will need to grow. And their character formation. You know, one thing that you can work towards, and teenagers, you actively ask God to do that. You need to own Christ for yourself. You need to say, I'm going to church because I love Jesus, not because my mom and dad tells me to go. Let me ask you, children, if dad and mom is sick today, would you ever tell dad and mom, I hope you'll be okay, you can take care of one another, right? I need to go to church. You know, as parents say, go. I'll say, go. You're honoring God. But of course, if I'm very sickly, had a stroke, then of course, then there's that balance of things. But you know, it would be such a wonderful thing, isn't it? That your children say, Pa, I think you need to go to church, I'll be late already. The last principle, very important, train up your child with prayer. You cannot do it yourself. You are against the forces of Satan in this world. You are against the influences in this world. You are against the sinful nature in the child. But you have God on your side. You need to pray. It's prayer. As a whole family of God and ambassador, we need to pray for one another too. That we will be able to help one another bring up our children in the fear of God. Can I say again, Ambassador Baptist Church, we do not exist to judge people because we are all condemned. God wants us to grow together. Whatever that I've said, I'm open to. This is some is part of my experiences. Some of it is actually biblical. It's very clear. Some of it actually has, and many people will attest to the evidence, the consequence of what actually happens. And I pray that we'll help one another. Parenting is not easy, but it's made easy with the Holy Spirit and the help of the people of God, encouraging one another. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray, Lord. I know there are many heavy hearts, Lord, even in my own heart. There are many heavy hearts of parents, perhaps right now, reevaluating some of the things in their lives. Oh, God. God, I pray for every child. I pray for every parent first who are struggling in their hearts. Lord, the message of God is to bring us closer back to you. First, there's one area of our lives that, Lord, we have absolutely been going down a wrong track because of our own personal philosophies. But Lord, today, if there's one parent who said, Pastor, pray for me, and God is seeking to reorientate my child training practices back to him, that I need to love my child. My heart needs to be turned towards them. And when you put it that way about a child, like Eli's sons are now in hell, it puts a whole different perspective on the eternal outcomes of my child. Pastor Johnny, pray for me. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in the lives of the people here, but I do know, Lord. I know I'm touched on something very personal to many people. We all have our thinking, but God, my only concern, as your under shepherd, is that this, all of us, Lord, be so serious about honoring you that we will reject what the devil wants to give us. The rock music, the pornography, the sin, the internet things that we know is wrong, it's sin. And some of the young people do not have the strength to get out of it. Lord, I pray as parents we will work together with the child to love them for Jesus Christ. Is there someone eyes closed, heads bowed. And someone said, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart about my role as a parent. There's some of these considerations I've never considered. But I want God to help me. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see that hand. That hand to anyone else. Well, parents, there is nothing more precious you have in your family except your child. Live. Bring the child up in the way that one day you will see him or her in heaven. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that hand. I see those hands. Is there someone else? Parents? Amen. I see that hand. All right? Parents, I'll be praying for you, but children, can I say this? When I spoke those things, I don't know what is going on in your life. But if some of you as children will say, Pastor, I realize how dishonoring I am to my mom and dad for hiding from them. Please pray for me that I'll be willing to open up my heart to my mom and dad. That I can make things clean with them. That we can work together as a family to grow. Is there someone, say a young person who said, Pastor, pray for me. That God will give me the strength to do that. Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand. The young person just put up that hand. Is there someone else? To be open and honest with your mom and dad. Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand too. Just put it up, put it down, pray in your hearts, God, give me that strength. Is there someone else? All right. Father, I pray for parents first. Lord, without your help, we can do nothing. We can learn all the principles, but without prayer and imploring your help, the power of the Holy Spirit filling us in every account, every event we have with our child. Without that, Lord, we will not be able to do what you want us to do. I do not know what has gone on in the hearts of these parents who have put up their hands. But I'm praying that in their own lives with you, Lord, you will work with them. And every time they read the Bible, you show them clearly what they need to do. And that, Father, they will take the training of their children very, very seriously. Lord, perhaps it's a weakness. Perhaps it's a principle they do not know how to train, or maybe there are certain things in their lives. No, I don't know, Lord, but you do. I pray that as they pray, as husband and wife for some of them, I pray, God, that you would bind their family together and their families will be strong. Lord, I pray for these two persons who will put up their hands as they want to be open and honest with their parents with regards to their lives. I pray that you will give them grace. Oh Lord, it needs so much strength just to confess a sin. I require you, Lord, to give them strength to do that. I pray their family life will be stronger because of the child's willingness to surrender. Father, I pray for every child who is still struggling in their hearts to hold on to things, websites that they shouldn't be on, and they don't want to be open and honest with their parents. Lord, the thought itself condemns that individual. By the grace of Christ, wants to draw them back to you. I pray that the young people in our church will never, never want to hide. They will always want an open friendship relationship with their dads and moms. Lord, even as we close in prayer, thank you for the patience of your people. I only ask, Lord, that you will strengthen every dad and mom to do the will of God in training up the children for the glory of God. So, Father, thank you for what you're going to do. I'm praying specifically for stronger families as a result of us listening to your word. I will thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.